Hi, I'm going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 20, beginning in verse 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands in his sides, I will not believe it. Well, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And stop doubting me. Believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Have you ever thought, if I had been one of Jesus' apostles and I had seen what they had seen, I wouldn't hesitate to believe? What did Jesus want his followers to believe? He wanted them and us to believe that he is God's Son, an eternal spiritual being in a human body. He wanted them and us to believe that everything he taught and everything he promised was from God the Father. He wanted them and us to believe that his miracles were done by the power of God the Father. He wanted them and us to believe that only God could bring people from death to life, as God had done for Jesus. He wanted them and us to believe that he, Jesus, would return to this earth to take his faithful people to live with him forever. He wanted them and us to believe that nothing is impossible with God. He wanted them and us to believe that only he, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to God. That's a lot to believe. Even for Jesus' apostles, his closest followers. But everything that Jesus said and everything that he did echoed the teachings, the actions, and the prophecies of the Old Testament. So if you believe the Old Testament, Jesus says you should believe him. Their question and ours, the one that becomes a very personal question, is this: what is the quality of my faith in God? Hebrews 11 verse 1 describes faith this way: "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Hebrews 11 verse 6 impresses, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Wilford C. Smith pointed out that when the King James Bible was printed in 1611, to believe meant something like to hold dear. He went on to say, "The affirmation, 'I believe in God,' used to mean, given the reality of God as a fact of the universe, I hereby pledge to him my heart and soul. I committedly opt to live in loyalty to him. I offer my life to be judged by him, trusting his mercy." Today, the statement, "I believe in God," may be taken by some as meaning, given the uncertainty as to whether God exists or not, as a fact of modern life, I announce that my opinion is yes. There's a great deal of difference in those two statements, aren't there? Does one of these describe your beliefs? What is the quality of my faith in God? Good for you. Jesus' follower Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus in order to help them better understand their blessings in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 17 on through verse 21, Paul writes, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Paul is not questioning the faith of the Christians there in Ephesus, nor by extension is he questioning the faith of the Christians here in Ventura. Paul does want us to better know God our Father. Paul does want us to know better our hope in Jesus Christ. Paul does want us to know better the riches of our inheritance. Paul does want us to know better our Father God's incomparably great power for everyone who believes in him. Growing in all of that, our faith in God grows. And it raises that question again. What is the quality of my faith in God? Some qualities of our faith in God are actually negative. We can have no faith. Mark 4 tells of Jesus and his followers being on a boat on a lake. A violent storm arose and it almost sank the boat. At least his apostles thought that was the case. His followers feared for their lives, and so they cried out to Jesus, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus was asleep. And so when they woke him, he stood up and calmed the storm, and he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You've been with Jesus. You've not only heard him and been inspired by him, but you've seen the kinds of miracles that he performs. You've been awed by them. You have no question in your mind, but this man, this Jesus, has been sent from God. Not quite sure necessarily who he is, but it's clear he's been sent from God. He has power that is incredible. And yet Jesus says to them, "Do you still have no faith?" Wouldn't you be insulted? But at the same time, as we say, if the shoe fits. And the question arises then, what does it take to believe in Jesus? To believe in the power of God? Closely related to no faith is little faith. Jesus once walked on water to meet his followers in a boat. And he called Peter out of the boat to come and join him. And Peter walked on the water until he became afraid and began to sink. And Jesus caught him and said, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" Little faith, as far as the Bible is concerned, is so small it can't be measured. And as a result, it has no effect. We can also have weak faith. As it's described in Romans chapter 14, it has to do with spiritual immaturity. And it causes us to lose our faith in Christ. It's the case where not only are we necessarily new Christians, but we may be Christians who've been Christians a long time, but we've not grown in our faith. And so anything happens, and we lose our faith in Christ. James chapter 2 and verses 14 through 18 explains that we can have dead faith, which is only intellectual. It's not put into action. I wonder how many people who consider themselves Christians have an intellectual faith. They believe in the idea of God. They believe in the idea of a Jesus. They believe in the idea of a good man. They believe in the idea that God has some kind of mysterious power. But their belief is just in their head. It doesn't translate into the action that's consistent with what they say they believe. We can also have useless or futile faith, a faith that is baseless. Jesus' follower Paul spoke of that kind of faith in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. He said, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, that is, who have died in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Does non-existent, weak, little, dead, or useless, or futile faith describe my faith in God? What is the quality of my faith in God? There are other qualities of faith, qualities that are positive. For example, we can have great faith, like the man in Luke chapter 7 and verses 1 through 9. When Jesus had finished saying all of this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And there, a centurion's servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this." Don't you love that? Doesn't that sound terribly, terribly relevant today? You deserve a break today. You deserve this piece of clothing or this car, or you fill in the blank. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I did not deserve to have you come under my roof." That was a discerning man, wasn't it? "That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. This man trusted that Jesus needed only to order his will be done, and it was done. He believed that Jesus did not need to be physically present, either to see or to touch or to act. Closely related to this idea of great faith is a person who is full of faith. Acts 11, verse 24 describes Jesus' follower Barnabas in that way. And people who have that trait of being full of faith have no doubt, they have no mistrust, and they have no despair. We can have steadfast faith. Paul praised the Christians in Colossae when he learned how firm their faith was in Christ. People with this kind of faith are not moved by doubts or fears or trials because they are rooted in the knowledge and in the imitation of Christ. They put on God's armor, and so they are able to withstand Satan's attacks. Jesus' follower Paul wrote over in 1 Peter, in chapter 1, in verses 3 through 9, Praise be to the Lord and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Even though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is that steadfast faith that will be tested. But God will help us to survive with our faith intact. We can have rich faith so that we can inherit the kingdom that God promised to those who love Him. This is the faith that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 3 through 16. It's intimacy with God because our faith is focused upon God. And then there's sincere faith. It's genuine. It has no hypocrisy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul told Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded now that faith lives in you also. So this sincere faith is a living faith, living in and shaping a person. That's what it had done with Timothy's grandmother and his mother and in him. Does great faith, full faith, steadfast faith, rich faith, sincere faith, or living faith describe my faith in God? What is the quality of my faith in God? When I ask myself that question, the only way I can really answer it, and answer it truthfully, is to look at how I have responded to trials to hardships, to suffering, to stresses in my own life? What is the quality of my faith? There are also two other qualities of faith. They have to do with describing the nature of faith in God. One is precious faith, because it results from God graciously sacrificing His precious Son for our eternal lives. And the other is holy faith, because it's directly from our holy God, and it results in our holy lives. The question we cannot ignore is the one I continued to pose this morning. What is the quality of my faith in God? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it weak? Is it strong? Where on that scale is my faith in God? How will I answer? And when I answer, have I asked God through prayer to guide me to understand my faith as it truly is? And as I evaluate the quality of my faith in God, what kinds of changes in my life, in my thinking, in my attitudes, in my actions, in my speech, does recognizing the quality of my faith tell me I need to change? For you and I, as human beings, we have to look at this business of the quality of our faith and realize that my faith is my life. My faith is my life. Because whatever or whoever I believe in necessarily shapes my life and everything in it. It shapes my decisions, my priorities, my values, my choices. So when I ask myself, what is the quality of my faith in God? I really have to ask myself, perhaps first, what does my life reveal as my faith? If we can be of help to you this morning in strengthening your faith in God, not as an intellectual exercise, not as a bragging point, but as a way of life, we will urge you to come forward this morning as we stand and sing this song.